All right, there's that Mary posits a thought there. I've heard this before as well. Isn't Paul speaking of those who would be with him? Okay, there's a thought that the they would be those that are with him. But this brother makes the argument that the they would be the apostles, because he mentions by name Peter, then the 12, 500 brethren, seen of James, then of all the apostles, and on, then me. Let's see, Perfect in Grace says, I think it refers to the laboring, as in verse 11, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. And I could agree to that too, although, again, this brother is saying, no, it's the preaching. But Perfect in Grace is right about verse 10, I labored more abundantly than they all. So there's more than one way to look at this, though, isn't there? Same foundation, different building material. Scott, it doesn't say what they believe. They believe what they heard. That's true. Well, I would suggest to you, either way, here's another one. Mary, Peter preached the gospel of the kingdom for 3 years, and yet when Christ said he would suffer and die, Peter said, not so, Lord. That's true. I would suggest to you that what was being preached, what is the context of the chapter? One word. Somebody write it for me. The whole thing is about what? Resurrection. Thank you, Dee. Resurrection. Carlton, Benoit, all of you. You all get points. You all go treat yourself. That's your reward. Right. The context is resurrection. Did Peter preach Jesus Christ raised from the dead? Yes. Yes, he did. But did he preach the gospel of Christ? No. No, he did not. He preached the gospel of the circumcision. It's clear that he did in the Scripture. So I have no issues with this passage like this brother does here. He takes that and with a kind of a faulty premise runs with it and tries to make a bunch of issues that really don't need to be issues. It's like he's wasting a lot of time, in my opinion, trying to get a bunch of grace preachers to believe and agree with him on this point. And it's just not necessary to make a big issue out of this. Did Peter and the 12 preach Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and raised again? Yes. Did they preach that he died for sins? Yes, they did. But the application of the gospel where they are concerned has nothing to do with what Paul was preaching. And so I know, for example, that there were some at Corinth that, bless Molly's heart, she's still getting kicked off. And I don't know what it is with our connection and her computer. Let me give her a chance to come back in here. For some reason, when we have this class, Molly gets kicked off frequently. And she says she doesn't have that problem with Jerry. Welcome, Melchishua. Glad you could join us. I'm hoping that Molly can get back in here. Molly, let me know when you're logged back in. Hello, Bob and Katie. Welcome and glad you're here. Could it be that they kicked Molly off? I'm hoping that Molly, who just got kicked off there, I'm hoping she can get back in right quick. So there's Molly. Hey, dear, I'm sorry you keep getting kicked off. Molly, I noticed last night on Brother Jerry's Bible study that you were saying with his broadcast or his webcast. Is that right? You do not. I can't imagine why it's just you on our dim webcast that keeps... And I wish I knew why that was happening. Boo-hoo. I'm so sorry about that, because I know it's frustrating for you to have to keep logging back in. Okay, and Benoit makes a good point that, you know, the service using is not a paying service. But that shouldn't make a difference, because we only have 10 participants in the room, you know. And we're supposed to be able to have up to 20. And you say the sound goes off, right? Not on Dimdim with Jerry. And I don't understand that because our individual computers have no impact on, you know, the... In fact, Jerry and I both use Macs. And I believe his Mac is a MacBook just like mine. So I can't figure out why. Yeah, and there's Bob and Katie as far away as Switzerland, and they have no trouble. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying it's yours. I wish I knew what was going on. If I could solve it, bless your heart, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would lay my hands and heal your computer. Pam asks, are you on a laptop? Are you an iMac, Molly? Okay. And like she says, Pam, she doesn't have that trouble with Jerry. Okay, Melchishwa says it happens to them a lot on Pal Talk. So I'm glad to know it's not just me. But it sure is frustrating for Molly, I know. And I will, you know, if I got the paying service for DimDim, I don't know that it would be any different. But and Molly says no Pal Talk for her. Yeah, I'm not sure what would happen there. Well, anyway, we've been talking about several things, actually. We had a good question from Carlton. It looks like Carlton might have got kicked off or he had to go to work. We had a question from Carlton about Paul filling up that which is behind in Colossians chapter 1. And then I brought up an issue that I was discussing with another brother on emails back and forth. And I was trying to get you all to sound off on these thoughts, looking at the idea of, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. And I had a brother draw the conclusion that the they would include Peter, James, and John up there in verses 5 through 10. And I would agree with that. But he also concludes that what they were preaching was the gospel of Christ. And what's interesting is the very next verse, verse 12, is the answer to the whole thing, in my opinion. He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? In other words, the very context of everything Paul's talking about here is that all of these preach that Christ rose from the dead because the context of this entire chapter is resurrection. Not the particular gospel of Christ. Yes, Paul mentions the gospel of Christ up here in verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you receive, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that's the gospel by which we're saved. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But what Paul says down here in verse 11, therefore whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe, is not necessarily that the 12 preach the gospel of Christ. He says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So the 12 and anybody else that was among those who witnessed his resurrection are simply preaching that Christ rose from the dead. And that's the whole point of the issue. It's not trying to prove that Peter might have preached the gospel of Christ or anything. Now, here's what happens with this, though. This same brother was asking a number of questions, and he's trying to say, if a person today believes what Peter taught, because Peter taught Christ was crucified, buried, and raised again, and Peter taught that Jesus Christ died for sins, then are they saved? Or will they go to hell? And they even phrased the question to me in a letter today this way, if Peter were alive today and believed, and he says, if you think that's true, then you don't understand what salvation is. So he's taken a pretty strong stand on this, and yet he's playing a game, really, because that's a big if Peter were alive today. Well, he's not. And you're imposing him into a dispensation that he can't. It is a doubtful disputation. Thank you, Bob and Katie. And I believe that's really the ultimate aim of what these letters tend to be. I'm not the only preacher that gets these letters. And I appreciate, I mean, this is a brother that preaches the gospel. There's no doubt about it. I wouldn't hesitate to allow this man to preach the message of grace to show salvation to another individual. I might hesitate to let him come preach in my assembly because I fear that he would probably try to stir things up as we're talking about here, you know. But that's such a game to play. It's like if, you know, there's some radio commentator that I'm not fond of that makes the statement, if is for children. And, you know, he's right about that. He's not right about a lot of things, but the guy's right about this. But I think this brother is trying to argue that we're taking too strong a stand when we say that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation today, and that the religious system of the world is in error in preaching another gospel. And he argues, well, I got saved as a Catholic before I knew about being sealed. And he was, you know, and these straw men, it's called the straw man technique when you say things like, if I didn't know about being sealed the day I got saved, was I truly sealed? Or was I only sealed when I learned about it in the Word of God? Well, you know, that's a ridiculous argument to make, because anybody knows that's silly. You were sealed the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether you knew it or not. You know what I mean? But that's the straw man technique. You build up something you can easily burn down because you know that can't stand. And then you do a number of those, and then before you know it, you're making this point that never addressed the truth value of the premise that you made to begin with. You've created a logically valid syllogism there, but you haven't really addressed the issue of, is the premise accurate that Paul is saying Peter preached the gospel of Christ? You know what I mean? And so, it's not accurate in my opinion, and it's irrelevant to try to say if Peter were alive today and he believed what Peter preached, would he be lost or would God put him in hell? Peter was given the message that he was given to give to Israel, and he looked forward to a time of atonement, to a blotting out. He knew that he would have to endure to the end to be saved. They sold everything they had. You cannot compare apples with oranges. That's right. Benoit says, I did not know of the raining when I was saved. The Bible is right. I didn't either. I didn't know about the fact that I would be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus when I got saved. Does that mean that I wasn't seated in heavenly places until I read that in the book of Ephesians? You know? Yes, Dee, I believe that it is. She asks, is this the same brother that teaches anyone preaching whether Peter, James, John, Paul, etc. Went into the body of Christ? Let's just say this. This brother teaches that Cornelius had to go into the body of Christ even though Peter preached to him, because no Gentiles can be in the kingdom. You know? No, Milchishua says, wow, my question early. Did I misunderstand you, Milchishua? That's right, Benoit. Not knowing does not negate the Bible text. Oh, it was raised in another room. Okay, so apparently this brother is sending his letters out to a lot of people, and words getting around. And again, don't get me wrong, folks. I count this person a dear brother in Christ and a saved individual. I will say this. You know, this same person wrote a book years ago called So Many Reasons Why the Rapture Was Going to Happen in 1984. and of course, here we are in 2010. So the track record is not so great. You got the letter too. Well, the track record is not so great that I feel that this individual has a clear understanding of some of the things in the Scriptures. You know what I mean? And so we pray for him and we share with him and things like that. Normally I don't respond to the letters. But In this case, I did, because I thought he was taking such a far extreme on this thing. Look, and he's sort of claiming that we grace preachers, or several grace preachers, are stating you can't be saved if all you know is what Peter taught. Well, you're saved by trusting that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again, believing that He's your Savior and Lord, and that your sins are paid for. That's not what Peter preached. Okay? So he's trying to mix that thing up to try to demonstrate, I think, I'm not even sure what his motive is in trying to demonstrate this. Excuse me. But he seems to feel the need to, I think, get some individuals in the body of Christ, and he's trying to find a cutoff point, as though it was boom, the minute Paul got saved, nobody else could have gone into the kingdom. And I don't know why there can't be a transition period in that, in all that era too. And so he's arguing against a lot of these things. So apparently he's gotten fouled up somewhere along the way. Excuse me. Anyway, it just seems that there's a lot of confusion in some of these points. But I did want to point this issue out, because I can see where somebody who doesn't believe the grace message, and this brother does, but somebody who doesn't believe the grace message might take that verse and try to prove that Peter and Paul preach the same gospel. And I'm more concerned about the danger of him confusing those issues and doing harm to the distinctive ministry of rightly dividing the word of truth than I am of grace preachers preaching that you can only be saved if you understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. And I've never heard any grace preacher teach that. Amen to that, Bob and Katie. Thank God for what we have learned and can hold fast to, our armor. And that's the truth. But in other words, why? I just have never heard a grace preacher, and maybe you have, and maybe he has, but I've never heard a grace preacher say, you cannot be saved unless you know how to rightly divide the word of truth. I just don't understand why anybody would even make that point. The salvation message is not based upon you understanding rightly dividing the word of truth. The salvation message is based upon us trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and what he finished at Calvary. And this brother agrees with that. So I guess I just find it difficult, to see his concern about that. And more than likely, he just has an ulterior motive, that he's trying to get men to see something that he's going a long way around to prove and beat around the bush. And I just find it's not important. The letters he writes and the points he makes are lengthy. He has a website, and if you go read the different things, he dissertations, they're very long and drawn out things that he goes around about to prove. Yes, with many charts. And it's just not necessary to do all that to simply preach the gospel and to rightly divide the word of truth in order that men might come to the knowledge of the truth and get grounded. That's one of the things that I've always shied away from, is trying to be so systematic and methodical and everything else. And I find sometimes, folks, that when you meet an individual who's saved that was an engineer or is an engineer, it's hard for them to ask a question, isn't it? Not picking on engineers, but or maybe they're accountants or something like that, which is a real left brain intensive type of thing. And these are like extremely intelligent, brilliant people, but they can't just ask a question. It's got to be prefaced by this long dissertation. Or computer programmers, that's right, Benoit. it's always prefaced by this long dissertation, and then they finally get to the point of the question, and I always wondered, why couldn't you just ask the question, instead of giving me a lecture on quantum physics, to ask the question. So he reminds me of people like that sometimes in the way he's trying to present ideas, and when he finally gets around to the question, it's like, well, I disagree with the premise of the question. If you just asked that from the beginning, I wouldn't have had to read all this mumbo jumbo that got me to the point where you finally asked the question, which is an invalid question, you know. So anyway, there's plenty of that, and we need to be aware of it. You can waste a lot of time unless you're willing to just be very patient with them and you know, deal with them. Mature in age, and I would probably suggest attitude as well, Bob and Katie. I think he's at least as old, if not older, than I am. And you know, there's I don't know the brother well. Yes, he's that old, Katie. That's right. I'm 47 years old. Do y'all realize I'm almost half a century? That's old. This brother, I don't know that well, but there's from what I understand in his history of being in the grace message, there's been some stands that he's taken that I do not believe were spiritually mature. You know, and I don't think that's yet. He took a stand years back that set him apart from other grace preachers, and he's got that maverick mentality, I guess. I just think he's never grown past that. You know, sometimes taking the stand just to be the lone wolf out there is not the reason you're supposed to take the stand. Let's take a stand because it's what the Word of God says. And he would argue that is what the Word of God says, of course. So he's not here to defend himself. So I realize that it's not fair for me to get too much into this. But my point wasn't to deal with that brother. My point was to deal with this passage and the concept that he's presenting. And so I simply think that verse 12 is the answer. It's right there to me. If Christ be preached, he rose from the dead. That's the issue. All of these who saw Jesus Christ raised from the dead preached that he resurrection was Paul. And that's really simple. If we just believe it means what it says.